Welcome to season 5 of the Book Marketing Action Podcast. We're back with another season of exciting guests, real conversations, and actionable insights for you to help reach the biggest possible audience for your work. We're here to share guidance on marketing and all other aspects of your author journey while exploring everything you need to be successful in sharing your important work with the world. I'm Becky Robinson, your host on this journey. I'm also the founder and CEO of Weaving Influence and the author of Reach, Create the Biggest Possible Audience for Your Message, Book, or Cause. Thanks for choosing to learn with me, and I hope you take action as a result of our conversations. You can find the show notes in the episode description and make sure to subscribe to our weekly newsletter at weavinginfluence.com for continued book marketing learning opportunities. I'm ready. Let's get started. So hello, everyone, and welcome to the Book Marketing Action Podcast. I'm your host, Becky Robinson, and I could not be more excited about talking to Jesse Anderson. He's the author of Extra Focus, which I've actually read from cover to cover in one weekend. It was amazing. And I'm really excited today, Jesse, to dig in with you and learn about how you built such an amazing and robust online presence. So welcome, Jesse. And if you want to, take a minute to let our listeners know anything else about your work and life that you would like to share.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. I'm a fan of the podcast, so it's really great to be here. As you mentioned, like Extra Focus is my first book, which just came out a few months ago. And I kind of, the story of this kind of all started about 7 years ago when I was in my mid-30s and I first got diagnosed with ADHD, which was like this is this huge part of my life that I had no idea was here that was like affecting all these things in my life. And so at that time when I got diagnosed, I dove into just like trying to learn everything I could about it because it was me. Like the more I understand about this, the more I'm going to be able to, you know, be able to cope with sort of the different way that my brain works and stuff like that. And one of the things I found way back then was, just 7 years ago, it was really hard to find good information, and it was even harder to find any sort of like doctors or anyone that really knew how to help me. And so I felt like the medical professionals that I talked to at the time, I think it's gotten a little better in some places, really nice people trying to help, just didn't have the knowledge that I needed for ADHD. And so I kept, as I was sort of like researching it for myself, I kept finding new stuff like, oh, this is part of ADHD and this is part of ADHD. And like, just like kind of blowing my mind every like year or so, I'd find out some new huge factor to it. So that was 7 years ago. And then just about 3 years ago was when I first started talking about ADHD online. I did like a writing challenge kind of out of the blue. It wasn't the NaNoWriMo, but it was a different sort of writing challenge I did. And I started writing like mini little essays kind of about ADHD. And a lot of people, it was really connecting with a lot of people. And that's kind of where I started, you know, kind of growing a community and got to where a lot of people were following me on Twitter and Instagram and now on Threads. And so through that and like my weekly newsletter that was about ADHD, I was developing kind of all this content about ADHD and about all the stuff I'd learned. And then I had people who would like reach out and be like, hey, I saw one of your posts and this sounds like it might be me. What do I do now? Like where's like a first step to like learn what ADHD really is? And that's what really led to me writing the book. Like I wanted it to be like, this is the book that I wish the doctor had handed me when I went in and said, hey, I think I have ADHD. It's it's the quick start guide to adult ADHD. That's really the intention behind it. And yeah, so that's sort of a little bit of my story and how I got to where I am today.
Well, so I totally agree with your description of the book as being like a really great starting point, a quick start guide. And it came out of this journey that you were on. And my mind is blown for a minute, to be honest, because what I'm hearing you say, Jesse, is that you only started to build online presence, sharing content about ADHD 3 years ago.
Yeah, it kind of blew up pretty quickly. I mean, for people that don't know what you're probably referring to, like I've got over 100,000 followers on Twitter and on Instagram, and I have like my newsletter is about 60 something thousand. And so it really, That, I mean, that's kind of what I was saying when I first started writing and it was resonating with people. Like, it really kind of happened pretty quickly. That first year was a little bit slower, but then that second year, that's when it really just sort of like exploded really quickly. And it makes a lot of sense to me because I know how little information there was, you know, 7 years ago. And so there's this giant vacuum of like people want to. There's like ADHD has this PR problem where like most people have heard of it, but we all sort of have this preconceived notion of what it is. And I had the same thing. Like before I was diagnosed, somebody said ADHD and I'm like, oh, I don't have that. I'm not like, you know, I'm not like a hyperactive kid running in circles. Like that doesn't apply to me, but there's so much more to it and people just don't know about it. So when they find out a little bit, they want to learn more. And I think that's really been part of, you know, why my, you know, community platform, whatever you want to call it, has grown pretty quickly just kind of in the last few years.
Well, so let's think about this. So what I'm hearing from you, Jesse, is that this is a topic where there wasn't a lot of information. So you showed up on the scene with a ton of value, a ton of relatability, a ton of authenticity. And as a result, after, you know, a year of maybe it wasn't so fast to grow, you saw the interest in the community build and take off because this was content that people really, really needed.
Yeah, definitely. There was a definite need there. And it also it kind of happened. I forget the exact timing of things, but there was a lot of people because of COVID, like being stuck at home with that whole situation, a lot of people finding out that they had ADHD because maybe they had within the workplace sort of developed certain coping mechanisms for how they functioned and how they dealt with the, you know, the differences of having ADHD. And then they got at home and maybe their kids were at home too, like doing schooling. And suddenly it was like, this is not, something is wrong here. This, like, I cannot survive in this. And then may have sought out and found out about their kind of ADHD that had been undiagnosed this whole time. So there's definitely, I think, some of that as well, like a lot more awareness grew like right at the same time that I was sort of helping create information to help people know like what next, like now that I know this is a thing, like how can I live with this, or like how can I thrive with this and really find what strategies are going to work for me, because so much of what I've tried most of my life hasn't worked and now I finally kind of know why. And so yeah, it was kind of a perfect storm that I just happened to kind of be there in the moment. And then I think I have done a good job of sort of like reading complex stuff and then making it like bite-sized and something that's easy to digest. Like that's one thing I think I have developed and gotten good at, of sort of like breaking things down so that it's easy to get into. Cause that's like a personal struggle of when I was trying to find information 7 years ago, it was a lot of what I was having to look at was like studies. And those are not the most user-friendly to like read through a study and understand like how to take that and apply that to your life. And then there was like a couple of books that were good, but they were like 20 or 30 years old. So that the information wasn't up to date. So yeah, that's kind of how all that sort of happened.
Well, talk to me about how you've prioritized your energy and attention in terms of selecting what channels to invest time in. And especially given that I'm pretty sure when you started this journey, you had a full-time job. Do you still have a full-time job? And how on earth do you create content at such volume to drive the audience that you've attracted?
Yeah, so I do still have a full-time job. I work full-time as a designer / developer. And great job. They do a really good job taking care of me. But I am sort of at this like crossroads in my life of sort of seeing like this next phase that I haven't quite made that step yet. And I don't know what that looks like necessarily. But yeah, it's been, I mean, I think part of it is I have been so excited to do this stuff. And so I'm just like filling in a lot of the blank space, staying up late nights and doing stuff on the weekends. Just because like I'm a night owl anyway, so I'm already up. So I'm just sort of like channeling it towards like creating content. And I think for me, one of the things like where I focus, like for me, the number one is my newsletter. I know how valuable having like that email is. Like that, the reason my book has sold as well as it has is because of the newsletter. Like that, I give most of the credit to that because it really gives you that like direct connection with your audience. So for me, it's almost, I've just been thinking like, okay, I've got to write the newsletter every week. And that's step number one. And then step number two is really just like taking anything I'm reading about or learning about or studying or just like struggling with my own life. Like a lot of the content I post is just sort of like, I don't know, kind of like jokes about my own struggle with ADHD and sort of like making fun of it and like, and also kind of encouraging people to share like what weird strategies are working for you and sort of like cultivating that as well. And I'm just kind of like, we talked before we start, I guess we were recording the whole time, so maybe that's at the beginning, but we talked a little bit earlier about how I kind of got started on Twitter. That was sort of my primary platform. And then at some point I kind of just happened to like, oh, I should start posting some of this to Instagram as well. And I'm so glad that I did that because that really like took off. And now I kind of have like the same size audience on both of those platforms. But yeah, I feel like I also have to, because I have a full-time job and I have a family and I'm kind of like creating a lot of stuff, I do have to make some choices where I put my time and my energy. Like for example, like on Instagram, I don't really do much with the comments. And I know that's kind of like taboo. Like a lot of people say you really should engage and you should get in there and like reply to people. And I kind of don't, just because I have to pick where I can put the time. And that's one area where I just don't have the time. So that's one area that I've chosen. Like I'm just not going to interact for the most part with the comments on Instagram. And that's sort of like there's all those little mini prioritizations where I'm sort of picking and choosing what can I do that's going to make the most impact and help the most people and require the least amount of energy for me. And a lot of times that means focusing on what I'm enjoying doing, with that kind of that newsletter being the pillar that kind of keeps it all going forward.
So let's talk about the newsletter, because quite often authors will tell me that that's the hardest thing to grow. So what has worked well for you, Jesse, in getting the newsletter from 0 to 60,000 subscribers in 3 years or however long you've been doing this?
Yeah, so it's really, for me, I mean, it was growing pretty slowly at the beginning. And I was kind of in that writing group that I was in. A lot of people had said like, oh, you got to do a newsletter. And I was like, sure, okay, I'll do it. What am I going to put in it? I don't know. I'm going to say just like a paragraph or two of what I read that week or whatever. It was like very, very simple at the beginning. And I've tried to keep it simple. It's harder now because there's so many things I want to put in there. But I try to keep it simple so that, you know, knowing my audience, that they don't want like, you know, 2,000 words every week. They want it to be short and like practical and all of that. So, but as far as growing, I think probably the biggest thing that I did to grow the newsletter was whenever I would kind of post one of those, you know, little jokes or whatever that would get a lot of like likes and like maybe like start to go viral, people were sharing it, I would specifically like on Twitter, I would add a reply to it. And then I had a lead magnet that was just like, hey, you know, go here to get a free ADHD strategy guide. And that strategy guide was very simple. It was basically 4 of like those little essays that I did in that writing challenge. And I just put them together, like nicely designed, but put them together in a PDF. And then that like strategy guide has really been the biggest factor in growing the newsletter. Like, hey, sign up here. And then you get the strategy guide emailed to you. And it also, that strategy guide, even, you know, I did it like 2.5 years ago, kind of is the foundation for the book. Like if you look at the strategy guide, you can see like, oh, this is like the first like 20% of the book is like this idea, but you know, diving deeper and expanding on it. And so that was another one of those things that I think I kind of luckily danced into, because someone was like, why don't you just take somebody, because I had no idea what to do for a lead magnet. And somebody literally told me like, why don't you take some of those essays, like mini essays that you already wrote, and make that into your lead magnet. And that has worked really, really well for me.
So quick question, has that all been organic growth where you've gotten signups to the lead magnet just through organic social, or did you put some paid social behind that too?
That is almost entirely organic. I did a couple of experiments where I would like, hey, let's try like promoting a tweet or something like that. And that never really did anything. So I would say 99.9%, yeah, organic.
I'm curious to hear about your community and how much you think the community has grown because of ambassadors who discover your work and then share it with others. So do you think, you know, part of your success has been, you know, hey, this audience member, this community member who was getting a ton of value from the content that you shared has chosen to reshare and amplify. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so that was, I mean, kind of early on when I was writing on Twitter, there were like other people that I knew were sort of like, ahead of me in the space. Like there was a few kind of the ambassadors, kind of like what you say, like people that had gone ahead of me and created some great content, had like a large audience. And I really like back then, I was this little nobody, like no one knew who I was. And so I really tried to I would comment on their stuff and try to add value. And so like anytime one of them would post something that I felt like, oh, I have a take on this or I have something interesting to add, I would like reply to it and or I would share it and sort of I think I early on was able to sort of get in their awareness that way, where they would see me replying a lot and then they would get like, a lot of comments on the thing that I said. And I think that's it's tricky to do that. It's been I think that has been discovered by people. And so like on Twitter, there's like quote unquote like reply guys where they'll say people that'll reply to everything and they're not really adding value. They're just like trying to like get anyone to follow them or whatever. And so it's sort of a tricky line, like it's yeah, tricky to balance that line. But for me, it's like as long as you're adding value, I think that is kind of the focus. And then through that, like I eventually did kind of get to, like meet my heroes in a way. Like I kind of got to know those people and I'm friends with them now, which is amazing. And once you kind of like, I think people in that space are usually a lot more open to being like friendly and chatting and like kind of being peers with than it appears. It's so easy to think like, oh, who am I when they've got like, I don't know, 100,000 followers or something like that. But there it's also kind of lonely at that space. And so once I started to grow and then I was able to connect with those people, it's almost like there's kind of a shared understanding that happens there and sort of like shared community. And because of that, like what I've found is I'm just always kind and like sharing people's stuff. And that's very much reciprocated. Like we're all kind of like across the board, pretty much just like the idea of like the rising tide, helps all boats. Like we're always helping each other out. Like Jessica McCabe is like really well known in the ADHD community. She has the How to ADHD channel on YouTube, which was one of like the earliest resources that I found. And so her and I have become friends, and she was like really great when my book came out and like helped promote it and share it with some of her audience. And we were also talking a lot during the book writing process, kind of commiserating some of the turmoil of writing a book. And then her book just came out like a couple weeks or a week ago as we were recording. And I've been able to like share her book and kind of tell a bunch of people about it, which has been awesome because it's just like we're just helping each other out this way. And then I think it's like it helps the community too. Like the community enjoys seeing that, like, oh, they're all like on the same, it's not like we're like fighting against each other. Like, don't buy her book, buy my book. Like, that's not the attitude at all, which has been like really awesome. So I'm super thankful. I mean, I hope that a lot of communities are actually like this, and I just don't know, but I'm very thankful of like the ADHD community has been so welcome and helpful, and just like everyone's just kind of on the same side, just trying to encourage each other, which has been amazing.
That is awesome to see. And I have watched you promoting Jessica's book. So before we move on to talking about your book, really quickly, I want to touch on your podcast and TikTok, which you haven't mentioned, or YouTube. So talk to me a little bit about these other content formats. I know that you made a decision, I think it was at the end or the beginning of January 2023, to put your podcast on hiatus so that you could focus on the book last year. So talk a little bit about, again, how you've prioritized, how you've chosen to focus. And then also, as I'm listening to you, I'm imagining our listeners feeling like this is all a lot of work. You know, as you describe, showing up with content on various channels and replying and engaging and supporting. So if you're willing to share, like, how much time would you say in any given week you're giving to your marketing efforts, given that you have a full-time job? And then also talk to those other channels and how you've prioritized them.
Yeah, so I'll talk the channels I'll talk about first. Like TikTok, that was one of the first things I did when I was in that writing challenge group. Somebody sort of suggested to the group because there was a lot of like entrepreneurial kind of people in the group, and like they're saying like, "Hey, you all should come over to TikTok. It's like really starting to grow because this is kind of early TikTok days." And so I did, And I found, like, this is before I'd grown much of an audience anywhere else, and I grew really fast on TikTok. I got like 20,000 subscribers within like a couple of weeks or something like that. And then I eventually got up to like 60,000, which was like unbelievable at the time. I was like, what is happening? But kind of speaking to that time and energy thing, I found that it was like, it was always top of mind for me. Whenever I was trying to like do other stuff, I was always thinking about like, what's the next TikTok idea? What's the next video I could do? And I really found that it was just like a big distraction for me. And so it's so hard to say no to something that's being successful. And so that was like really hard for me to decide to walk away, because it was like, I had never seen any like growth like that in any of my other channels, but it was just like, I can't do anything else because it's whatever the dopamine is that's happening from TikTok, it's all consuming. So I had to walk away from that. And I might go and do TikTok again at some point, but I haven't in like probably a couple of years now. And I think I'm probably healthier for it. And the same with like the podcast. So I was doing my podcast, ADHD Nerds, which I loved doing. It was super fun. But I kept finding that writing the book, because it didn't have like something, there was no immediate deadline. It was just sort of like this distant, like, I want to finish it. And so it kept getting bumped down to the bottom of my to-do list. And so I didn't have time. And then I kept finding that like 2 months went by and I haven't even like looked at my book. Like, this is no good, Jesse. You've got to finish this book. And so I made some hard choices. And one of them was the podcast. I definitely want to go back to that. But I decided, I was like, I'm going to say that I'm ending season one, because then it's sort of like, I can kind of come back whenever I want to. And so I hopefully, like, maybe later this year, I'll be able to kind of come back to that now that I have kind of finished that first book and have a little bit more time. As far as like the amount of time I kind of put towards marketing, it's hard to know, especially kind of coming out of, coming out of the holidays. It's definitely variable. Yeah, I don't know. I think that one's hard to quantify. The biggest thing I'm kind of focusing on these days is like, I like doing podcast interviews. And again, that's something, because I enjoy doing it. And so that's something I kind of lean into. I try to find that, like, what's going to be helpful for the book and for marketing and for growing the audience or whatever, and that I enjoy doing or like energizes me and all of those sorts of things. And so podcasting is one of those that I really enjoy, like, well, especially being a guest, because I don't have to do all the other work that's involved. But podcasting is definitely one that I love doing interviews. And that's, you know, I've seen and heard from a lot of people how effective that is for books too. And so that's definitely something I'm kind of focused on in this next year. And I think there might've been another question in there, but I've definitely lost it by this point.
That's okay. I had too many questions at once, so I will own that. And I'll break it down from now on.
As an author and seasoned book marketing expert, I know the struggles and frustrations that come from launching a book into market. Where do you start? Which channels should you be on? How can you best engage the right audience? How do you stand out among the noise? Fortunately, we've got you covered. To alleviate these stressors, my team at Weaving Influence and I recently launched the Book Marketing Strategy Live course. Through this 6-hour, cohort-based small group training, you'll learn the ins and outs of book marketing and gain access to our learning of over a decade of helping authors launch their books into the world. And you'll do this in a supportive community of like-minded authors. Ultimately, you'll discover how to most effectively leverage your time, energy, and money to launch your book into the world with momentum. Plus, with your course purchase, you'll receive a toolkit of resources, including guides, timelines, and templates to ensure you're thoroughly supported as you start the execution phase of your book marketing journey. Are you ready to get started? We offer a new course every 6 to 8 weeks, and you can find upcoming course dates and reserve your seat at weavinginfluence.com. I can't wait to see you at the live course.
So let's talk about the book. When did you decide to write the book? What was your thought process?
Yeah, so I started, it was about, I guess at this, by now, it's like 2.5 years. So it was in the summer. I had done the writing challenge. So I had, in the, I don't think I explained it, but the writing challenge was, it was called Ship 30 for 30. And it was, you write a short essay every single day for 30 days. And then you post it like every day. So that's like, there's a, that every single day you have a deadline of writing an essay, which was like, it was a lot of work. I have no idea why I signed up for this challenge, but it was super effective for motivating me to get all the kind of this writing out. But at the end of it, I had written a bunch of these little mini essays, and I like counted up and I was like, this is like 16,000 words that I wrote this last month. How much harder could it be to like do a book? And then I'd also thought back to like wishing that book kind of existed when I had first gotten diagnosed. So it was about 2.5 years ago where I thought like, oh, I think I could do this. This sounds like a really like good, this feels like a really good use of my time to create something like this. So I announced it and then quickly found how like, oh, writing a book is not the same as writing a bunch of essays and then just like stringing them together. Like there's a whole lot more involved in the process. But yeah, so about 2.5 years ago. And then so it took me about 2 years to write the book with some big kind of gaps in the middle where I got distracted by other things and had to pull myself back to the book.
Well, let's talk about the incredible success that you've had. And you already gave us like a sneak preview of what you think has contributed to your book sales success. But why don't you tell our listeners what you've experienced since the book came out in September of 2023 and some of what you think contributed to your success?
Yeah. So like going in, this being my first book, I had no idea what to expect. I was like, I know I've built up somewhat of an audience. And so I know like, I'm not going to like release it and get zero sales. But other than that, I kind of don't really know what it's going to be like. And I'd kind of read like, you know, listening to lots of podcasts, including this one, and reading books and reading stuff online, trying to get sort of my idea of like, what are my goals going to be? So I had in my head leading up to that launch week, I had two goals. One was to like, I want to try to sell 1,000 books within the first like month and a half, because it was like, I launched mid September and then October is ADHD Awareness Month. And so I was like, try to sell 1,000 by the end of ADHD Awareness Month, month and a half. And then I had the longer term goal of, I wanted to sell 10,000 books in the first 2 years. And that's sort of like, I've heard people call that sort of like a magic number of like your chance for continued success grows a lot if you can hit 10,000 in the first 2 years. So that was what I went in with my mind on, you know, that was my mindset going in, my goals. And then my launch, like 2 days in, I think I hit my first goal. I hit 1,000. It was like on my second day, I'd gotten over 1,000. And some of that was with like pre-orders and stuff like that. And I'll talk about that launch week in a second. But since then, I think about a few weeks ago, I hit my 10,000 goal, which is unbelievable. So I hit it within, I think it was just about 3 months from launch. I was able to hit 10,000 books sold, which incredible. I don't know how that happened. I'm so super thankful. And since then, we're recording early January now. I don't think I'm quite there yet, but I'm approaching 12,000 total sold, which has been, it's been amazing. So super thankful. It's really, we were talking about like, I'm working full time right now, but it's opened up doors and opportunities. And so I'm very much like looking, what can I do next? And thinking about the next book and all that sort of stuff. It's really sort of upended my life in a good way. But so as far as like what I actually did for the launch week, I had some ideas going in. So I've gotten to know a lot of people kind of in the community. So I did a lot of like reaching out and I sent a bunch of early book copies to people with no expectation, but sort of like the, hey, if you could share a photo, that would be amazing. If not, totally cool. But I just want to give you a free copy of the book. And I probably sent out, probably a little over 100 books to people for that. So that was kind of one thing I did. And that definitely like a lot of people shared on that launch week, which was amazing. And there's nothing like seeing like your favorite person you follow on social media showing a book. You're like, oh, I got to get that book. Like there's a whole lot of that kind of social proof to that. So that was definitely a big factor. A couple other things I did have a launch team. So through the newsletter, I had asked people to see if they were interested in being a launch team. And I think I had a little about 200, less than 200, like 160, I think. And those were people I gave them all early versions of the ebook. And then there's a whole lot of different things I could do. And what I settled, I just sort of asked like, hey, if you could buy the book on Amazon and leave a review, then it's verified, which is amazing. If not, just leaving a review, even if it's not verified, also amazing. And I didn't do a community or anything. I just sort of like sent some emails, just like encouraging and like suggesting, like, if you don't know what to say for a review, like, here's a couple of prompting questions. And I think it was just like, what was a big takeaway from the book? And who do you think the book would be a good fit for? I think those were the two prompting questions. So like, just answer those. That's a review. It doesn't have to be an essay. It just has to be a short recommendation. So that's been really helpful as well. And then I think the third big thing I did for that launch week was I knew I wasn't going to be a New York Times bestseller because there's all the stuff, like it has to be hardcover, it has to be sold in the US, it's got to be not Amazon, it's got to be all these other stores. There's so many like complicated factors there. And so I was like, not even think about that, which is fine. But like a few days before launch, I just had this thought of like, but if I was trying to get on that list, what would I be doing right now? It was just like sort of a thought exercise to like try and make me think like, what's that extra thing that I would be trying to do right now? And what I came up with is I'd done a few like cohort courses, sort of like as I was writing the book, almost kind of putting the book into practice and sort of seeing how it worked with people. And so I had done some of these like several week courses. And so for that launch week, I made it a bonus. Hey, if you buy it this week and then send, email your receipt here, I will send you all the recordings of this course that I did earlier in the year. And that I definitely saw, like, I was getting like 80% of that first week, like 80% of the people that bought the book emailed in to get that bonus, which is huge, because when people buy on Amazon, like, you don't get their email address, you don't get anything, you just like get a little, number that goes up in your data point, your data chart or whatever, but you have no idea who it is. So getting all those emails, like knowing like I these are my customers, and now I can kind of reach out to them to like ask about reviews, or if I do another book, or if I do another course, like all of that. So that I think was one of the biggest things that helped that launch week, was adding a really good bonus that was very relevant. It was like, hey, if you're buying this book, here's a course that's like very much that same material. So I think that those are kind of the three biggest things I think that helped make my launch a really big success.
So let me ask about the bonus, Jesse. That was a 1 week only bonus that you offered. Is that right?
Yeah, I did it again for, I think, Black Friday. I brought it back for Black Friday. But other than that, yeah, it was just those two times are the only times I've done that bonus. I do have an ongoing bonus at any time where, and this is like in the book, it's the same sort of thing where go here, email your receipt to this address, and then you get, there's a few PDF, like a discussion guide, a PDF with like all the strategies from the book, and a couple of other bonuses like that. But the course itself was, I mean, I do have, I'm haven't done any of this yet, but I do have dreams of actually doing like an evergreen version of that course, like a really highly produced, cause it was just like Zoom, Zoom recordings before. And I want to do like a highly produced version of that at some point and eventually sell it, which is why I didn't just make it like a permanent bonus. But I think for that launch week, well, part of it too, the scarcity of it, like I was able to talk about that of like, this is the only, like, you're not going to be able to get it after this week. And so I think a lot of people bought the book that week because they wanted that extra video bonus.
So any insights, Jesse, into how many people who took action on the bonus were on your list already, or like any insights on how well you converted your list to buying the book?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't have that kind of broken down at all. It would be great if I did. I'm sure there was a ton of overlap because I talked to like the email list a lot. And I usually send my weekly newsletter. So every Tuesday I send out an issue. And then occasionally I'll send out like an extra thing on Thursday. But I did go a little bit crazy for this. I kind of went into it knowing that like, hey, how many times am I going to launch a book? I don't know. At least this one, I'm going to be okay if I lose some followers, if I like really let everybody know about this book. So I sent a bunch of emails for those kind of like a couple of weeks for the launch week. And I did lose some subscribers, but it's totally worth it. So I think it was sort of like making that choice of like, I try to provide a lot of free value with the newsletter. And so if I like, now is the time to kind of like really, like, I don't know, cash in isn't the right word because that makes it sound like a transaction or something. But you know what I mean? Like really sort of like, this is a time where I want to hopefully like convert, you know, some of these people into buying the book. And I think it's going to be a real valuable resource for them as well. So I don't know how many emails I sent, more emails than I was comfortable with, which means it was probably about right.
Yeah. I was going to ask you if you knew how many. That would be something interesting to discover. I remember, Jesse, early on, one of the first book launches I did in 2012, was with this woman named Wendy Apple. And I remember she agreed to send an email to her list every day of her launch week. And it was one of the most successful early campaigns we had. But again, she was definitely stepping out of her comfort zone and emailing more than she wanted to, but she was willing to like make that sacrifice. And I do think those subscribers who are most invested with us understand and can tolerate some extra emails during the weeks that our book come out, books come out. So Jesse, is there anything else that you did as you were launching the book or as you've been continuing to market the book that you think has contributed to this ongoing and phenomenal and almost like fairy tale success that you've experienced?
Yeah. I mean, one, I highly recommend, there's a book called Write Useful Books by Rob Fitzpatrick. And I highly recommend that book. It was definitely one I kind of referred to when writing my own book. And the, you know, the general idea behind it is specifically trying to write a book that is going to be highly recommendable, because that is what gives books lasting success, is that someone reads your book and then says to a friend, oh, you've got to read this book, this changed my life. Like that, that's what like you really want to do. And so that was like my goal. I wanted this to be a book that was highly, highly recommendable. And part of that for me was knowing my audience. And so my book's way smaller than most books. Like I think it's 25,000 words and most books are a lot more words than that. And I also like very intentionally designed it like for people with ADHD. Like I know for me, a lot of books I only get about, you know, 50, 60% of the way through, and then I stop and put it down. And so I front loaded some of the stuff because I wanted to make sure, like for me, one of the most important things to talk about in the book was motivation, because that was huge for me understanding that. And so I made sure like that's got to be in that first 40% of the book, because I want to get people there as soon as possible. And I even took out, I had like a couple other chapters written and I ended up taking those out of the book because they were just kind of in the way. Like it was, if I was going to have them in the book, they needed to be early, but they were just sort of like in the way of the stuff I really wanted people to get to. So I ended up taking that out of the book just to make it so that people got to the really good stuff quickly. And then so that one, it was useful them for them, and two, that they would be more likely to recommend it to other people. So that I think has been a big part of it, because I hear a lot of like that has worked. I've heard from a lot of people that recommend it to other people, and I've heard from like some ADHD coaches that say they recommend it to all their clients now, which is like amazing. That's like a dream. I'm like, yes, because that's something that's like going to continue to kind of bring in, you know, future people picking up the book as well. So that's been huge. Another thing that's like sort of related with the reviews. So I mentioned having a launch team, and that really helped me get a lot of those early reviews. But another thing that I've done is I have like using ConvertKit, which is like an email platform. I have a little funnel for email setup. So anytime that somebody emails me for the bonuses, so they send their receipt, I have it automated a setup where it sends them the bonuses in an email. And then it has a couple of other follow-up emails. It's just kind of like extra like resources for ADHD. And then eventually I send them an email that just says like something nice. That's like, thank you so much for reading the book. I hope you finished it and loved it. What would you rate it? And then it has like the options for like 1 star, 2 star, 3, 4, 5 star. And if they click the 5 star, if they click 1, 2, 3, or 4, it takes them to a page that just says, thank you so much for taking the time to read my book, something like that. But if they click the 5 star, it takes them to a different page that says, thank you so much. Would you consider leaving a review? It really helps authors out. And I've seen a lot of that. A lot of reviews have happened because of that. People like signed up, you know, bought the book, sent the thing in, got the emails, clicked that 5-star, and then it was like, oh, I guess I can leave a review real quick. And so I'm like over, I think I have 260 something reviews right now, which has been just like amazing. As you're, you know, like it's really hard to get those early reviews. And so I've been incredibly thankful for how quickly that has happened, because that's such a, like when you look at a book and then you see just like 11 reviews, like it says something. It like, I hate that it does, but it does. And like, whereas once you hit that, like I was so excited when I hit 100, because then it's like 3 digits now, like that feels like a real, real book. And so that's definitely something I would like, anything you can do, like with that early book launch to get to that 100 reviews is so important. And like, I kind of focus on, like I said, the 5-star. Maybe if I hadn't been getting early reviews, I might've said 4-star also, like, cause I just, you just want that number almost more than the rating, as long as you're kind of, you know, 4 and above. But yeah, so those are some of those really big contributing factors to that early success.
Wow, this has been such an incredible conversation, Jesse. And I'm thrilled that you have shared your expertise with our listeners. So you might know that at the end of every episode of the Book Marketing Action Podcast, we always want to come back with something practical that people can do today to be able to move their book marketing efforts forward. And the first one that I want to pull out as an action step from today is really to consider the value of investing in building your community before you launch a book. Now, for some of you who have come to this show, it's because you have a book coming out right away, and you may not have the luxury of 2.5 or 3 years to add value to online spaces before your book comes out. But if you don't hear anything else from this episode, I want you to hear that Jesse put a great deal of thoughtful work into adding value in online spaces for 3 years. And then when his book came out, he experienced tremendous success because of the value that he had already added. So if you do have the opportunity to build first, the first action step from today is, you know, consider building first. How does that one land with you, Jesse?
Yeah, I think that is great. I mean, one thing I would also add kind of in that is just being really open and kind to people in your community in that space, and really treat, like, not thinking of people as competition, like other authors and stuff like that. Because a lot of the people, especially early on that I connected with, it was because I started by just saying like, hey, I'm a fan of your stuff. I think what you're doing is really helping the community. Thank you for what they do, or thank you for what you do. And they remember that even when it's like somebody that doesn't have a huge following or anything. And I didn't way back then. But then when I connect with them later, you know, that message history is there. If you're like, you know, on DMs or whatever, it's like, oh yeah, that's that person that said that really nice thing to me way back then. And so like, I definitely, like, if you're in a place where you are sort of like able to kind of build that audience, that community, I highly recommend just like outpouring that kindness to other people in the space, because it, yeah, I think it can get lonely and it can feel like, oh, I'm sure they hear this stuff all the time, but it really makes a difference when you kind of reach out and are able to connect in that way.
All right. So there's Jesse coming in hot with our second suggestion of this show, which is take the time to be kind and amplify others who are sharing content on topics that are similar to yours. And even if your book has already come out, this is a tactic that you can try. So we would always love to hear from you. And so if you want to get in touch, let us know how you are implementing these ideas. I would encourage you also, before we leave, Jesse, can you let people know the best places to find you? And we'll put the links to your channels in the show notes. But how can people stay connected to you and your work, Jesse?
Yeah, so you can get my book is, you know, Amazon, all the places. But if you go to extrafocusbook.com, that sort of has all those links. As well as if you want to get the bonuses, that's where kind of the information is on that site. And then my newsletter is the same name, but it's just extrafocus.com. That's my weekly newsletter. And then I'm on most of the, you know, as we mentioned, I'm not on TikTok, but pretty much any other like social media I am on. And you can just find me as ADHD Jesse, and that's J-E-S-S-E.
Perfect. Jesse, thank you so much for investing time with us. I look forward to our continuing connection. I'll see you on Threads. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you so much. This has been awesome.
Thanks for listening to the Book Marketing Action Podcast. If you haven't already, I hope you'll subscribe to our weekly newsletter at weavinginfluence.com for more access to ongoing learning and conversation. If you're new to the show and not sure where to start in exploring our episode archives, see the show notes for a list of my favorite 5 shows as a way to get started. If you need support for your book marketing journey, Weaving Influence is your one-stop shop for digital marketing and PR services. We craft and implement strategies customized to your long-term goals and can support you during every phase of your author journey. Now it's time to take action on what you learned today. Be sure to let us know how you've implemented today's action steps.